The morning of January 11th, 2023, arrived with a stillness that felt inconsistent with the growing sense of dread settling over a quiet residential street in Collin County, Texas. It began with a vehicle that seemed out of place. A silver sedan left abandoned on a desolate stretch of County Road 635, its interior empty and its presence unexplained. Local authorities arrived to find the car intentionally set ablaze, the metal scorched and the windows shattered by the heat, leaving behind a hollowed-out shell that offered more questions than answers. There was no sign of a struggle in the immediate vicinity, and no indication of where the driver might have fled. Yet the clinical nature of the scene suggested something far more calculated than a random mechanical failure or a simple act of vandalism. As we processed the registration, the digital trail led back to a woman whose friends and family were already beginning to wonder why her usual morning check-ins had fallen silent. The air was cold and the ground was hard, offering no footprints or physical clues to point toward a direction of travel, leaving the investigation to rely on the digital breadcrumbs left behind in the hours preceding the fire. We cleared the debris and began the process of identifying the owner of the vehicle, a task that eventually brought a single name to the forefront of the missing persons report. That name was Kayla Kelly. We started the investigation by reconstructing the final 48 hours of the timeline, looking for any deviation from the victim's established patterns of behavior. It did not take long to discover that the personal life of the missing woman had recently become entangled with a man who was operating under a carefully constructed web of lies. Friends of the victim directed us toward a man they knew only as Ori, a person she had been dating for several months and who she believed was a single man looking for a serious commitment. However, when we ran the name through our databases and cross-referenced it with physical descriptions, we identified the individual as Ori Cloud. It became clear during the initial background check that Cloud was not the person he claimed to be, as he was currently married and living a double life that involved maintaining a separate household while pursuing a relationship with the victim. This revelation provided the first major lead in the case, suggesting a motive rooted in the fear of exposure and the potential collapse of his primary domestic situation. We learned that shortly before her disappearance, the victim had discovered the truth about his marital status and had threatened to reveal his infidelities to his wife. This conflict created a high-stakes environment where the suspect's carefully curated reputation was at risk of being dismantled by a single phone call or message. The surveillance footage from various locations across the county began to fill in the gaps of the suspect's movements on the night the victim went missing. We observed his vehicle traveling toward the area where the burned sedan was later discovered, and we noted that his return trip occurred during a window of time that he could not adequately account for during his initial interviews. We conducted a series of welfare checks and searches at his known residences, focusing on the equipment and tools he had access to through his employment and personal life. The chronological reconstruction showed a pattern of deceptive behavior, including the use of burner phones and encrypted messaging apps to hide his communications from his family. We interviewed coworkers and neighbors who described him as a man who kept to himself, yet none of them were aware of the secondary relationship he had been maintaining for nearly a year. The investigation intensified as we realized that the window of opportunity for a safe recovery was rapidly closing, and the focus shifted from a missing persons case to a potential homicide. We tracked the suspect's cell phone pings to a remote area in Grand Prairie, a location that held no significance to his daily routine or his professional responsibilities. The forensic evidence gathered from the suspect's digital devices provided the most damning insights into his state of mind and his preparations for the crime. We recovered deleted search history data that indicated a deep interest in how to dispose of evidence and how to avoid detection by law enforcement. The GPS data from his primary vehicle showed a direct route to a wooded area near his home on the night of January 11th, where the car remained stationary for several hours before returning to his residence under the cover of darkness. When we executed a search warrant on his property, we located items belonging to the victim hidden in a crawl space, including her personal electronics that had been powered down to prevent tracking. The most critical piece of physical evidence was discovered during a meticulous sweep of the suspect's backyard, where investigators noticed a patch of soil that appeared to have been recently disturbed and then covered with debris to blend in with the natural surroundings. We utilized ground-penetrating radar and K9 units trained in human remains detection to pinpoint the exact location of the anomaly. The recovery process was slow and deliberate, ensuring that every piece of forensic material was preserved for trial. As we cleared the top layers of earth, we found a shallow grave containing the remains of the victim, wrapped in a manner that suggested a hurried attempt to conceal the body. The autopsy later confirmed that the cause of death was consistent with foul play, though the specific details remained a closely guarded secret of the investigation to ensure the integrity of the suspect's subsequent interrogation. We also recovered forensic evidence from the suspect's clothing, including traces of the same accelerant used to ignite the victim's car on the side of County Road 635. The link between the two scenes was undeniable, creating a physical bridge between the abandoned vehicle and the burial site located on the suspect's own property. We analyzed the chemical composition of the debris found in the grave and matched it to materials found in the suspect's garage, further cementing the connection between his home and the final resting place of the victim. The technical data provided a cold and objective narrative of the events, stripping away the suspect's claims of innocence and replacing them with a sequence of events that left no room for alternative explanations. The digital evidence also revealed that the suspect had been monitoring the victim's social media and communication logs in the days leading up to the murder, likely sensing that his secret was about to be revealed. We found evidence of a final confrontation via text message, where the victim explicitly stated her intention to contact his wife and provide proof of their relationship. This exchange occurred only hours before she was last seen alive, providing the prosecution with a clear timeline of the escalating tension that led to the violent outburst. The suspect's attempts to wipe his phone and reset his factory settings were unsuccessful, as our forensic team was able to bypass the security protocols and retrieve the hidden partitions of the hard drive. These files contained photos of the victim that had been taken without her knowledge, suggesting a level of obsession and control that went beyond a simple extramarital affair. Every piece of data we pulled from the devices acted as a silent witness to the planning and execution of the crime, providing the jury with a step-by-step account of how a hidden life turned into a fatal obsession. The legal proceedings moved forward with a wealth of evidence that left the defense with very few options to contest the charges. Ori Cloud was officially charged with the murder of Kayla Kelly, along with additional counts related to the tampering of evidence and the arson of her vehicle. During the trial, the prosecution presented a methodical case that relied heavily on the technical and forensic findings we had painstakingly gathered over the course of the investigation. The testimony from the forensic analysts and the lead detectives painted a picture of a man who believed he was clever enough to outsmart the system, only to be undone by the very technology he used to manage his double life. The jury was shown the maps of the cell phone pings and the photos of the disturbed earth in the suspect's backyard, creating a visual representation of the path from the discovery of the burned car to the recovery of the body. The suspect's demeanor throughout the trial remained stoic, showing little emotion even as the details of the victim's final moments were discussed in open court. The verdict was returned after relatively short deliberations, with the jury finding the defendant guilty on all counts. The sentencing phase allowed the family of the victim to speak about the impact of the loss, describing a woman who was vibrant and full of life before she was targeted by a man who valued his own convenience over her existence. The judge sentenced Ori Cloud to a significant term of imprisonment, ensuring that he would remain behind bars for the foreseeable future, without the possibility of parole in the near term. The case served as a stark reminder of the dangers that can lurk behind a digital profile, and the lengths to which some individuals will go to protect a false reality. The investigation was officially closed once the final appeals were exhausted, leaving the records to stand as a testament to the work required to bring justice to a victim who had been silenced by a calculated act of violence. There were no grand philosophical takeaways or moral lessons offered by the court, only the cold application of the law to a set of facts that had been proven beyond a reasonable doubt through the diligent collection of forensic and digital evidence.